importance of these excellent principles to keep in mind when we're facing a difficult work situation. And until next time, I'm Mike Smith.
If you've appreciated this week's program, you can find out more about the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics at homeschoolheartbeat.com.
Welcome to Notes from Above, the program that explores the intersection of music and faith, and I am your co-host, Deacon Tom Lowy.
And I am Sister Sarah Burdick, and it's great to be back, and that was a very joy-filled song.
It really was, very rousing.
Rousing.
It was rousing.
Well, I think that's Stephen Curtis Chapman, isn't
that
it?
That is exactly. In fact, we're going to go and feature this recording today on Notes from Above, and this is, I think you folks are going to like this one. I mean, I've listened to this and I have, this may be starting, it might be in my top 10.
Really?
Yeah, it's that good.
Oh.
It's that good. I mean, every
cut. We like
cut,
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, yeah, I always have. And you know, when I heard this, and this is the opening cut, by the way, Joy to the World, I said, well, this is definitely Stephen Curtis Chapman. It sounds exactly like him.
Yeah, it's full of joy and
his
energy.
His arrangement, though, is what I'm saying, is he has a signature way of performing. That you know, just you have to recognize who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're right. He also has that deep commitment to his faith.
Yes.
He loves Jesus with all his heart.
Amen.
And as a result of that, he is able to go and give a sincere performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's great love that flows from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's one another reason why I like this. You know, when I listen to Christmas music, I often think of the commercialism of it. And one of the reasons why it gets commercial is because they're just doing their job. Okay, they're just singing the songs. Okay, now there are exceptions to the rule. You know,
sure.
I mean, if you listen to the Christmas song with Nat King Cole, you know, there's great sincerity in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or Perry Como,
mm-hmm.
or you know, some of the great old guys. You know, and Mahalia Jackson's recording.
Oh yeah,
her Christmas recording is wonderful too. But this one, like I said, this is one of these recordings that and I'm going to encourage you know folks go out and get it. The name of the recording is called Joy.
Oh,
Joy.
Perfect.
It's perfect for the Christmas season. Now, you know, we're recording this during the Advent season.
I told you people get in trouble.
No, we're not going to get in trouble.
Are you sure?
No, I'm telling you, they started playing Christmas music on some of the local stations here like 2 weeks
after Halloween.
Basically, that's what they did.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
And it's okay because, you know, it becomes part of our the environment that we are in, the ambiance that we're in.
We don't want to lose Advent, though.
Oh, no. You can never. And why is that, sister? Tell us.
Why is that? Because Advent is this time for preparation, this time for watching and waiting. And I don't think we're very good. All right, I'll speak for myself.
Don't go for
I'm
it.
Sure you're good at this, but I'm not. I'm not very good at waiting and watching and, you know, this watching for the Lord to come. So Advent really is a time for us to slow it down. Slow down and take some extra time if you can to just watch and to wait. And hey, wake up! Are you there?
Yeah, I'm with you.
But it's so important for us. You know, I don't remember which father of the church said this, but he said there are three comings of Christ. The first coming, of course, was Christ came in the incarnation, which was a rather sort of a quiet and subtle way that he came. The second coming is what we're waiting for, and when he comes again, it won't be so quiet. Everyone will know,
mm-hmm.
right? But the third, or rather, shall we say, the in-between, he talks about the comings in between the first and the second, and that is Jesus coming to us every day. Mm-hmm. We meet him. Maybe we meet him in the poor. We meet him in people we work with, or people that have to put up with us, or right?
Exactly right, yeah.
So, but anyway, but we don't want to lose the, I mean, I'm glad we're doing this music. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But don't lose this time of watching and waiting, preparation.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I think it's important for us to talk about Advent for sure. And I guess it's sort of, when we hear music like this, it reminds us of what we are actually waiting for.
Yeah.
And that's important for us to also know what the goal is, what the
mm-hmm.
target is. But I also wanted to go back to something that you said, you know, about the coming in our hearts,
mm-hmm.
the ongoing coming in our hearts of Christ. I've been paying attention to this. There's a word that's been thrown into, you know, into my lap, basically, and I've been thinking about it. And that word is liminal. The place that is not where you've been, and it's not where you'll be. It's where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This present moment.
The present moment,
mm-hmm.
right. And liminal is you know, it's a, you know, they use it in theology and in philosophy
mm-hmm.
and so on. But the being in the present, okay, being aware of God's presence in our lives
mm-hmm.
Is a liminal moment. And apparently that's where all change occurs. Change does not occur from where you've been,
mm-hmm.
nor where you're going.
Hopefully you've learned from where you've been.
Right, you learn from that. But where most of us really are, we are in that place in between.
Mm-hmm.
In between. And it can be a terrifying place sometimes if you're not really, you know, willing to accept. Some people live in the past. Some people live in the future. But to be where you are, not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, St. Augustine says, you know, what we can do is we regret the past, we're worried or we're anxious about the future, and we miss this present moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Christianity, as a faith, is all about this present moment. Right. Yeah. Be awake.
Mm-hmm.
Be awake. That's what Jesus says.
Amen.
Well, why don't we go to this next selection, you know, is I think you're going to like this one.
I hope so.
You've never heard it before.
Never.
This is a brand new song. Okay.
Yay.
This one's called Christmas Card. And the lyrics are really quite beautiful. I'd like you folks to go and listen to the lyrics a little bit, and we can talk a little bit about it. But this is words and music by Stephen Curtis Chapman. So this is from his new recording called Joy. It's on Reunion Records. And let me know what you think of this, okay? Let's listen to it right now.
I think I passed you on the busy sidewalk last night. I think I caught the sadness in your eyes. While everybody sings their happy Christmas songs tonight, all you want to do is cry. Christmas lights and decorations everywhere you turn, but all you feel inside is dark and gray. There may be joy for all the world, but is there any joy for you? Hold on, love is looking for a way. Hold on, I believe it's why love came. So I'm sending you this Christmas card to let you know somebody loves you. And I'm singing you this little song to let you know you're not alone. And I'm thinking as we celebrate how love came down, so every lost, lonely, broken heart would get found. And wherever you are, I hope this Christmas card finds you and reminds you you are loved. For everyone who's been left standing on the outside looking in, everyone with dreams that never will come true. And when the story of your life gets rewritten overnight, well, this is all part of the Christmas story too. And I believe God knows He's right there with you. So I'm sending you this Christmas card to let you know somebody loves you.
Tell you, I love that song. I just do. It's called Christmas Card. Artist, of course, is Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of the great contemporary Christian artists of basically, you know, the last 25 years. The guy's he's just an incredible artist, and it's from a recording called Joy on Reunion Records. Obviously, something we have to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, there's great passion and commitment from the singer about the power of Christ in the lives of people whose lives may be a wreck, and I just think it's so. It's so beautiful and so Christian on his part to go where he goes with this. So I just, you know, I love the song. I really do.
You know, Deacon Tom, would you just read the first few lines of this song?
Well, if I can, without crying.
Well,
or, yeah.
That's why I'm making you do it. So I can collect my thoughts
all
here, because I really want to share something.
Okay, sure. Okay. Here it is. I think I passed you on a busy sidewalk last night. I think I caught the sadness in your eyes. While everybody sings their happy Christmas songs tonight, all you want to do is cry. Christmas lights and decorations everywhere you turn, but all you feel inside is dark and gray. There may be joy for all the world, but is there any joy for you? Hold on. Love is looking for a way. Hold on. I believe it's why love came. So I'm sending you this Christmas card. And then he goes into the chorus, of course.
Yeah, this, yeah. Oh my goodness. I wish I could thank Stephen Curtis Chapman personally for writing that song, because just last night, Tom, I was driving through a town nearby here, and it was just lit up with Christmas lights. Yeah. Well, I was on my way to a funeral home.
Sure.
One of our teachers, Father Gabriel Richard, passed away. She lost her battle with cancer, mm-hmm. had been battling it for 3 years.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. And I was just thinking, as I was on my way to the funeral home and seeing all the Christmas lights, I just kept thinking about her family, and I just thought, this Christmas is not going to be a joy-filled one,
sure.
you know, for them. And perhaps in subsequent years, for a little while, Christmas lights are going to remind them of her passing away. And so I'm just grateful, you know, for this song, because, you know, it says, hold on. You know,
yeah.
I have other friends who have lost spouses or friends who have lost their parents. And I do want to say, you know, hold on. I'm not going to say, oh, you'll get over this. No, you don't get over it. You do have to walk through these dark times, absolutely. And your life really is changed forever. You're never quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope for you, those of you who are listening who maybe have lost loved ones, my hope for you is that eventually you will see, now this is going to sound crazy, they're not my own words, Francis de Sales used to say, death is a benefactor. You know, that sounds crazy, doesn't it?
But yeah, death, it does. Death explain is a, that to me,
okay,
yeah.
Death is a benefactor because it reminds us of where we're going. It reminds us that we're on our way home, you know. And I'm not trying to make light of anyone's grief or anything. I understand it firsthand. I get this.
Right.
But hold on. Hold on, because, you know, you might experience tremendous grief, perhaps just with a little bit of a tinge of hope. Well, my experience is that's now turned around, that I experience a lot of hope, and it's tinged with grief.
Mm-hmm.
So it does flip around eventually. So hold on,
yeah.
and know that you're loved.
That's a good point. You know, and, of course, it's more than just, you know, the passing of people we love. You know, like, for instance, I went through a Christmas. My father died just a few days before Christmas. I do remember this very well. I remember,
sure.
you know, it was a Christmas that wasn't.
Yep.
You know, it was a very, you know.
You're just numb.
Right. You're numb to it. And
yeah.
And I do know that often in during Christmas time, you know, the hospitals fill up. You know, and there are also other things that happen, though. That's what I want to say. It's not just death.
Right.
You know, there are people who are in that hospital. Okay, the great vigil is now on. You're waiting. You're waiting. You know, what's going to happen next? It becomes very difficult, you know, for families when those kinds of things occur. And they do happen, you know, this time of year. That's a very, very common thing. But there's also, I like what he said about, you know, he saw somebody who had sadness in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep our eyes open, you know, again, we were talking about being aware, being present. If we keep our eyes open, we will see that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's in situations where you would least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody who is just, you know, they're a little glazed over. They're just not there. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not at that party. You know, they're not. They're not. You know, they're retreating for any number of very good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even they maybe they're suffering from depression.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a number of different kinds of things that can happen in someone's life that takes them out of the mainstream in a way that is depressive or sad. When you see that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Go there.
Yeah, don't be afraid to reach out to them.
That's right.
You
exactly
know?
Right.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody.
A little thing can make a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was talking to somebody and, you know, she lost her husband and she said, nobody calls me anymore. She
right.
said, it's as if I died. I mean, a part of her did die. She lost her soulmate. But, you know, don't be afraid to call people when they lose loved ones, because that, you know, even if you don't know what to say, that's okay.
Yeah.
Just call them anyway and say, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. Just let them know, you know, I'm with you. You know, if you
right.
need anything or,
right.
you know, take them out for coffee or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Little things like that can make a difference in someone's life. You know, and I think you just said something very interesting that I've been really trying to hold on to. When we say, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
do it.
Yeah, do it right there.
You know, it's not a way of postponing response.
Right.
You know, to say, well, we've talked about it, now we have to pray on it. You know, I'm sure that you've gone through that plenty of times. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a business meeting or something like that. So, well, we'll pray on this one, you know. Well, the fact of the matter is that when you feel compelled to pray, then do so.
Yeah.
Make sure you do it. I mean, one of the things that I think we can say is I'm praying for you right now. Right. While I'm talking to you, I'm praying for
you. That's right.
My heart is not divided. You know, I can look at you and tell you I'm praying for you.
Sure.
And mean it.
Right.
It can be real, you know.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate to pray for those who are in need, because it makes God hears every prayer and honors everyone that he hears in some way that we will never understand. Until perhaps by the grace of God we are standing in front of him, then we'll get it. But all prayers are answered.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I've had I've talked to perfect strangers. I know that's a shock to you.
There's a story behind that one.
And
I wonder what that is.
Well,
yeah.
Some I can tell in the air and some I can't. But anyway, I really got you going.
Yeah.
But when you say to someone, you know, I'm really praying for you, it's interesting. People will give you different responses. Sometimes it's, oh, thank you very much. Or now, you know, one time I said it to this person who dropped us off. It was a shuttle from the airport. And I said, you know, is there anything I could pray for, you know, for you? And he goes, oh, no, thank you, sister. I'm fine. Everything's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people, you know, and maybe everything was fine in his world. Or sometimes, and I never mean it this way, sometimes people act like it's a condescending question. You know, if you say, can I pray for you? Or I will pray for you.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And sometimes people get mad. But you know what? I'm not going to stop asking people, can I pray for you?
Yeah. You know, as we're talking, I'm thinking about Christmas stories. And let me tell one. This is one.
I need any tissues here?
No. You don't. I mean, because it's a reflection basically on my own, ineptitude. So I guess it's okay to tell.
Yeah. All right.
One Christmas, I was downtown Ann Arbor. This is when Borders, the big store, was still on State Street.
Okay, yes. Okay.
And Liberty Street.
Sure.
Actually,
yeah.
On Liberty Street there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy. It was icy and wet, and it was just a miserable, you know, early, you know, evening. So it was probably like, you know, 6 o'clock or something like that. So it was already dark. You know, lights all over the place. But the guy in front of me was in a wheelchair. All right. And he was pushing himself along, you know, as good as he could in sort of, you know, the ice.
Sure.
It was rutted and all that sort of stuff. And here I am. I'm walking behind him and I'm thinking to myself, should I go and help him out? You know, because I might insult him, because maybe he thinks I'm honestly thinking like this. I might insult him because maybe he feels like he's very independent.
Sure.
You know, and that he wants to go and do it on his own and all this sort of stuff. Right. And there's this guy that was sitting there in front of the store with his hand out. Okay. You know, he was a bum and he's asking for money. Right. You know, and
he asked the guy in the wheelchair for money.
He's asking everybody for money, okay?
Man.
You know,
okay, all right.
But he's been there for a long time,
okay?
He's been there all day long. He's been begging for money.
Sure.
So,
I'm afraid all of a sudden, to hear what you did.
This bum, gets up, walks up to the man in the wheelchair, and he says, "Hey, buddy, where are you going?" I'm right behind him, so I hear the whole thing. You know?
Knife into the heart.
Absolutely. He says, I'm going over on the border. He says, well, you know, mind if I push you? He says, go ahead. That's fine, you know. And so the guy and here I am. I'm behind him. I'm going,
convicted.
Convicted. Right, exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different kind of conviction, too, let me tell you.
Sure.
It was a lesson. Uh-huh. It was a lesson in charity,
and
acting on that charity. It was an important moment. So I guess what I'm saying, the point is this, be aware, be awake, and respond with love to those who are around you. When you see people struggling, go for it.
Yep, and I'm going to guess you never did that again.
Oh,
you
no.
never walked
oh,
past
no,
a person
no.
again,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely not. I will not. No,
nope.
I believe it.
That's a great story.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to go and close the first half of Notes from Above. Don't turn the dial, though, man. This is great. This is great music, and I want you all to hear it. Okay, this is from Stephen Curtis Chapman's recording called Joy, and this is his take on We Three Kings.
traverse so far. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Bethlehem's fame, the gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Star of wonder, star of night, star with gathering gloom, sorrow inside, bleeding, dying, still in a stone cold.
This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In the Gospel of John, Jesus accompanies his mother to a wedding at Cana in Galilee. At that time and place, a wedding celebration lasted several days. But early in the celebration, disaster strikes. They run out of wine. Mary, ever sensitive to others' needs, sees the problem and asks her son to do something. Confident that he will do what is needed, she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you," and is proved right. Jesus performs his first public miracle and turns water into wine. Not just any wine, but an excellent vintage, bringing honor to his hosts and saving the day. Even now, Mary is telling us to do whatever Jesus tells you. Even now, she points and directs us to her son. Even now, we have a mother in heaven who watches over us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. Join me and my guests as we try to develop conversations of consequence. It's talk radio where God matters, looking at all life through the lens of the Scripture and the teaching of Christ Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on 990 WDEO.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome back to Notes from Above, the program that explores the intersection of music and faith, and I am your co-host, Deacon Tom Lowy.
I'm Sister Sarah Burdick, and oh my goodness, I was so much into that song, just listening, and all of a sudden it's like, welcome back. Oh my gosh.
Did I scare you?
No, it's all right. It's like, do you hear? Oh, did I hear that? Thanks for waking me up. I mean, I was just so into it. I'm like, oh, we're doing a show. We're on the air.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Good music, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
Well,
I like it.
In case you just tuned in, we're featuring the music from a new recording called Simply Joy. J-O-Y.
And not even Simply Joy. It's just. No, it's not.
Not even just.
No, not
it's
just.
Joy.
Not simply. What's it called?
Joy.
Joy.
Yeah. It's a recording by Stephen Curtis Chapman, a great Christian artist. And, of course, we know all these songs, you know, that he's singing, and yet they
it doesn't sound like Christmas, though.
It has the stamp of Stephen Curtis Chapman and the quality of arrangement. Like, for instance, when we were listening to it last one, there's tremendous build.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it starts kind of quietly, you know, and then all of a sudden it gets a little bit bigger and it gets a little bit bigger. And suddenly you have the children's
African
choir.
African children's choir.
That's
I couldn't
right.
wait for them to
Everybody's
come in.
Going with it. And you have the drummer. He always has the best drummers. And of course, they're doing that. He does that march.
Yeah.
You know, and wow, it just takes you home. It's like really good stuff.
So everybody's out there saying, okay, are you ever going to say, how can I get this CD?
Well, I'm telling you.
Tell me.
You can go to Stephen Curtis Chapman's website. I am certain of that, if you wish to do that. And Stephen, by the way, is spelled S-T-E-V-E-N, Curtis Chapman. Okay, one P in Chapman and one N in Chapman. Okay, so you can go there, and I'm sure that you can get it there. I'm sure you can go on all the normal places. You know, you can go to iTunes, and you can go to Amazon, and you can do all the... I don't want to advertise for these guys, okay? But you can do that. One of the things I wanted to mention, though, there's a wonderful... Stephen Curtis Chapman has always been committed to missionary work.
Yeah.
And he's always been committed to working with people in need. And one of the things that that he loves very much are children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident anytime you listen to his music that he really has a real passion and love for children. And there is an organization called Show Hope. Showhope.com. No, excuse me, .org. Showhope.org would be another place to get information, not only about this recording, but also about orphans, orphanages, people who care about orphans and take care of children who are in need. Mm-hmm. You want to go find out a little bit more about that? He actually puts that right in his on the CD, in the inside cover of the CD. It says, go there. Check that out.
I wonder
out.
If some of these proceeds actually go to Show Hope. I wouldn't
be surprised at all.
Yeah, I bet. Sure.
Yeah. Because that seems like the kind of guy he is. Anyhow, the recording itself, it's on Reunion Records, okay, and it's called Joy, J-O-Y, and it's filled with music that you will be familiar with, but it's also filled with music that our first time, okay, that he wrote. Mm-hmm. And some of it is excellent. Like, you know, in the last half of Notes from Above, we listened to a piece called Christmas Card.
Yeah, and if you missed it, you've got to go to his website or to iTunes. It's so good.
It is. It's a beautiful piece. Yeah. The next selection that we have is also one of those songs.
Oh, good.
And I want you to listen to this one. This one here is very touching to me. I mean, I have a real affection for and devotion to St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is called I Am Joseph. Parenthetically, it's called God Is With Us. Of course, God Is With Us is the name...
Emmanuel.
Exactly right. So I'll tell you what, why don't we listen to this? Listen to the lyrics, because I think it's really great. And then on the other side, we'll talk a little bit about Stephen Curtis Chapman and St. Joseph and Emmanuel.
You know, if
I
get lost again, just feel free to tip my chair over or throw that giant teddy bear thing at me or whatever.
Right. If there's a crash in the studio, you'll know why.
You'll know why.
Let's listen to this. This is called I Am Joseph.
I am Mary, I'm traveling on a journey, and I'm carrying a promise I can't see. I'm scared and I'm excited, I don't really know what lies ahead of me. And I'm a shepherd on a hillside, as common as the clothes I wear that smell like I've been sleeping in a barn. The last people in this world to ever bow before a king, but here we are. That my pride can build around me. I start thinking I'm the one and only king, trying desperately to stay upon a throne that never did.
valleys, fixed on the star that lights our way, bringing all the gifts I have to give in worship when I finally see my Savior's face. And fears, all our unworthiness and shame, knowing every one of us is the reason that He came. And God is with us, and God is for us. This is our story, this is our song. For us all.
That's very nice. Isn't that very nice?
That's very nice.
It
I like it.
I am.
I like
Joseph.
That guitar.
God, oh, isn't that gorgeous? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think his capo is up on like the eighth fret or something like that. It's like he plays, that's
or
like a little toy.
Just, yeah.
Or either that or he just knows how to play.
Playing way, way up there.
Well, that's a very full-handed performance, though. I mean, because he's obviously doing some finger-picking through there. And
mm-hmm.
so my guess is it's probably capoed up. But doggone her, that guy can play
mm-hmm.
like a ring and a bell.
There aren't very many chords in that song.
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it musically, it's actually fairly simple. But it's also, what a wonderful story.
Yeah.
And he tells it in a different way. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's Joseph, he is Mary, he is the shepherd, he is the king, he is us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's nice because we can all sort of fit in, you know. And I think the hook in there is that one part where he says, you know, he's all of us, all of our brokenness, all of our, our shame, all of our, you know, the weaknesses that we possess. That's very fetching for me to hear that understanding of that whole story.
Mm.
You know? I was thinking about the shepherds the other day. I always love shepherds. Anyhow.
I do too.
But there are people who are even in holy Jerusalem. They were outside the gate. You know what I'm saying? They were not in town,
mm-hmm.
and when they did come to town, people didn't like them very much.
They probably didn't smell very good.
They did not smell very good, and also they were because they had to go and deal with, you know, animals, carcasses sometimes. Okay,
mm-hmm.
they were definitely unclean,
mm-hmm.
and yet, you know, if you think about it, who did the angels appear to?
I know, I love it.
To those who were unclean.
Yeah.
To those who were marginal,
those
who were on the outside, and then the wonderful story about the kings. You know, it's a great story. I'm so glad that they included that. But they're not the kings of Israel. They're not the kings of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the kings of anything that made sense in the time of Jesus. They're kings from far away.
Mm-hmm.
Marginalized again. Mm-hmm. In a sense, they are, even though they're kings, but they don't belong. They're Gentiles.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
They're not the accepted ones, and yet they show up.
You know, Deacon Tom, you're making me think of something.
Well, go for it.
Do you think we could talk about Pope Francis for a minute?
Anytime you want to.
You know, I don't know if you read about this, but, you know, it's been reported that he's been sneaking out of the Vatican at night.
Oh, no.
just such gross. Well, at least that has been reported.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And apparently one of the things that he has been doing is he's going out and meeting and feeding and eating with homeless people. I love this pope.
What a sweetheart.
I've loved all the other popes as well, but I was thinking, you know, with the new evangelization, he is doing it. He's not just talking about it. He's sort of a personification of the new evangelization.
Right.
And he has this priest, this Polish priest, who is in his 50s, I believe. He's called the almoner. Do you know about this? There's a full title.
Nope.
I don't remember what it is. And an almoner is, it's an ancient office, okay, within the Vatican. And what would happen is this almoner would give alms in the name of the Pope. Okay?
Okay.
Now, what Pope Francis has done is he has chosen a priest, I believe actually might even be an archbishop, who is younger. And what he does is he sends him out at times in his name, in the Pope's name, okay? And he'll have him, you know, it might be, you know, giving money to a homeless person or sending food to that person, or, you know, he'll read letters that he gets from people asking for help, and Pope Francis will put notes on the top. Okay, this is what I want you to do for this one, and, mm-hmm. you know, send money to this one, go see that one,
so
bring this one
here. He's using that office, yeah.
He's using the office in a more active way, mm-hmm. and Pope Francis himself is going out, and it inspires me so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought, you know, he's leading the way in actually doing this evangelization. Because sometimes, you know, I find myself going, okay, we talk about the new evangelization, or really it's the re-evangelization. Well, okay, so we hear about it at church. Okay, but he's going outside the walls, mm-hmm. you know, and he's doing it. And he's doing it in a way that's very natural mm-hmm. and very loving. He even challenged somebody. He said, you know, okay, don't just, you know, give a homeless person something to eat. Invite them into your home.
Right.
Let them take a shower in your house. Oh, fine. Your bathroom might smell for 3 days because this homeless guy took a shower in your house. Well, so what? Mm. You know? I mean, it's very convicting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying we're all going to do the same thing, but as we were saying in the first part of the program, let's keep our eyes open.
Absolutely.
What can we do?
Be aware. Be open. Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to have to go on to our next selection here because otherwise we'll run out of time
no.
and we won't be able to hear everything that we
right.
got here.
Okay.
This next one here I chose only because it's one of my favorites. It's poetry. This is by Cristina Giorgiano Rossetti, the great English poet. And the music is by Gustav Holst. And this is Stephen Curtis Chapman's take on In the Bleak Winter. And so why don't we listen to it? We'll talk a little bit more on the other side. You're listening to Notes from Above. beautiful piece, In the Bleak Winter. It's from a recording called Joy. It's on Reunion Records, and the artist, of course, is Stephen Curtis Chapman. Wonderful recording and a beautiful sentiment in that. It's a very old poem. I was going to say this is probably from the 1850s or so. I'm going to say that.
I don't know.
I think so. I think Rossetti was 50s or 60s, but you know, certainly 19th century. Music of Gustav Holst, and we hear that fine quality of a through composed piece. But the other thing about it is, and this is what I wanted to talk about a little bit. We don't have to go very long on this, but you know, Christmas is always considered a time of gift giving, and who do we hear? We hear about someone who was poor, you know, and what can I give him, you know, and talks about, you know, well, if I was a shepherd, at least I'd have a lamb, you know. If I was a wise man, I could do my part, you know. But I have nothing to give. But my heart.
My heart, yeah.
And, you know, the beauty of that, of course, is, you know, unending. But I think that we often think that we have to give lots and lots and lots and lots of things. But remember who we're giving it to, ultimately, is Christ. When we have someone that we love, okay, we want to see the delight in their eye because we gave them from our heart something that was dear to us, okay? You don't have to give big presents, you know, I mean... All you have to do is give someone a kiss. Yeah. All you have to do is
go
care.
To the dollar store, and then.
Well, seriously,
give them your time.
What it takes. It takes more than money.
Yeah.
It takes more than something.
Yep.
Okay. It takes love. Mm-hmm. All right, and we have to see Christ in those people that are you know, near to us, just like those who are far away, and see that Christ resides there too, and maybe they can see that Christ resides in you, and in the act of giving, you become Christ-like.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a beautiful opportunity.
Or you know, maybe you could do this with your family. You could, you know, ask your kids, what gift will you give Jesus?
Sure.
What gift will you give him? And maybe have him write it down on a piece of paper and put in a box that's nicely wrapped and put it under your Christmas tree.
Right.
You know, don't read what the kids wrote, but what will you give Jesus for Christmas? It's his birthday after all.
Right.
You know, I don't think we don't think about giving him gifts, but what will you give him? Maybe you'll your gift is to be kind, at least for one day. Your little brother.
That's tough.
Yeah, I know. That's tough. Okay, maybe 1 hour. How about
okay, one hour. Okay,
okay, 1 minute or whatever you can really do. Be realistic. But what gift will you actually give to Jesus?
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good exercise for the children, too, to take part in that, to be extravagant in their love you know, and encourage that.
Now, if they say something like, you know, well, I'm going to give Jesus an easy bake oven. That's not going to work.
That would not work. No.
Kids tend to give things that they want.
Yeah.
Right? Or ask for things that they really want.
That's
or,
the beauty of teaching them to give, you know, like I said, extravagantly, you know, to think it through, you know. Put that little note in the box.
Yeah,
that's what you wrap
it.
Up. Yeah.
Did you ever give your parents something when you were a little kid and it was something that you really wanted, like, you know, a wooden horse or something?
Yeah.
It cracks me up.
Sure. Yeah, that's children, yeah. Well, listen, we're going to go and close the Notes from Above. Thanks for being with
us
today.
What a,
yeah, I know.
Thanks for tuning in.
But it's been a good show. And you know, stay tuned. You know, as we come into this Christmas season, we're going to have more beautiful music. And so we do encourage you to keep listening and enjoying this wonderful time of year. We're going to close with Stephen Curtis Chapman singing What Child Is This? And a beautiful performance at that. So thanks for being with us.
Sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. Why lies he in such humble place, where ox and sheep are feeding? Come, have no fear. God's Son is here, His love all loves exceeding.
Some of my Christ-centered friends, we started talking about some of our favorite Bible quotes. One of mine comes from Matthew. Jesus said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." It is the reason that in each and every day I give thanks to God for all that He has gifted me, starting with the greatest gift of all, my daughter. That Bible verse also reminds me of the importance of surrendering. When things are out of my control, I do my best to let go and let God take over. That alone reminds me of another favorite verse, although not in the Bible. It's a prayer I often recite. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Jesus communicated so many powerful messages to us. Today, His words continue to guide us through life on earth because He is the way, the truth, and the life. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, the communication evangelist.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Hey, I just tried that Ave Maria app. You can hear Ave Maria Radio wherever you go.
I have too, but those data charges on my plan make it hard sometimes to listen all the time.
Try sitting